Greetings, everyone. This is Steve Adams from Tiger Performance Institute and Tiger Medical Institute, and I'm excited to talk about our second audio lesson in this series on developing a powerful source of energy in a company culture, how to build a peak performing culture. In last month's edition of the audio lesson, we discussed purpose as one of the three pillars of building a high performance culture. Well, in this lesson, I'm going to lay out the second pillar, which is mastery or path to mastery. And remember, the whole reason that we're doing this is we want to create a high performance culture. And look, in my 35 years of leading teams, I've never in my life experienced a team where I could successfully, continually motivate them from the outside in. I mean, you can do that in sports to a degree because you can yell at the players and get that short-term burst of energy, but I can't go around the office or the store or wherever your setting is. You can't go around yelling at people that, you know, they won't stick around for the long game. So what we're trying to do here is stack intrinsic motivators, and the three aspects of that through research. This isn't just my opinion. I've lived this. I've researched it, read the research, then applied the research and scaled it in a big way in multiple settings. So you can trust it. That's what I'm trying to make the point of here, is you can really trust what I'm sharing with you here, because it's something that if you do, you will get the same result. Okay. But there's three pillars, and there's having a purpose that your entire team buys into. We talked about that last month. This month, we're talking about mastery or a path to mastery, which is really a training progression for your team. And then last, and we'll talk about that next month, empowerment. And I would actually say radical empowerment. When people get into a situation where they are bigger, where it's bigger than them, that they can be participating in something exciting that they agree with, that they bought into, and then you train and develop them so they feel invested in, and then you allow them to exercise the training and the wisdom that they've accumulated and give them autonomy, which is a flow trigger, you're creating intrinsic motivation. You're creating an environment where your team has flow. And team flow is even more powerful and leverageable to success than individual flow. Okay, so let's get back to the lesson. The path to mastery is a journey where you establish each employee in your company based typically on a job description. So in my last company, we created three tiers for each position in our stores: for store manager, for assistant store manager, for shift lead, for cashier, and for stocker. All right. So what it did was it created a path or a process for each employee to master their current position, as well as aspire to higher positions in the company over time. And so we literally called them, you know, we branded it kind of like give yourself a raise, because we tied hourly and salary raises to the levels that they progressed through. Okay. So we paired this training progression path with a system we called career builder interviews. Another common name for this is a stay interview. These interviews were structured to take about 20 minutes a month and require minimal administrative burden. And the focus of these interviews was training objectives, or the training objectives of each employee for the next month, while holding them accountable for last month's training plan. So without a system to ensure that training happens regularly, daily, it will get pushed to the later pile, okay? The pile meaning I got a fire right now I got to take care of, so I'll do it later, because there'll be things that are more urgent that your staff will think they need to focus on day to day. It's human nature. Don't doubt me on this, all right? If you fail to establish a system, the training simply won't happen. So I recommend you set up a similar process of monthly interviews where you handle training this way. We were able to prove at scale this worked. Thus, what I'm trying to encourage you to do here is take advantage of my learning and experimenting over the last three decades to shorten your curve in this area, okay? So let me get back to the why behind this. Your goal, again, is to create an intrinsically motivating environment in your company where your team brings the discretionary part of their heart to their work every day. This doesn't just happen. It has to be engineered. It has to be from an intentional set of actions that you take as a leader. You want clients to sense a greater energy and commitment in your business. It should be your goal for the company to have a culture of going the extra mile for your clients. Building an intrinsically motivating culture will drive differentiation in an area that is very difficult to copy. You're going to build a powerful moat around your business if you pull this off, okay? That energy that your staff brings, your clients will sense it and they will be drawn to it. They will want to come back over and over. They will want to engage in your business. They will begin to forget about price differentials and product selection, and they'll just want to buy from you because you've got this special culture that they sense. So as I said last month, purpose is critical to creating intrinsic motivation. Employees must feel like they're part of something exciting, something bigger than themselves, something they are in alignment with, along with others on the team. Purpose gives them a big, fat, juicy why each day when they wake up and make that choice to go to work for you rather than sitting on their can playing games, living off the government or living off their parents in their basement or going to another company. All right. Unfortunately, whether you like it or not, staff has the advantage in today's world. And it's only going to get worse because the long-term population trends are not in our favor in the sense of having ample people. So you better make the choice to become a preferred employer, to differentiate, to attract employees, or you're going to get killed. You're going to have constant turnover. And this is one way, this is, I think, the way, the best way to differentiate your company both to employees and to clients at the same time. So again, with the labor shortage only getting more and more difficult as demographics and culture converge around this idea that doesn't value work and it continues to slide down this direction, staffing excellence is only going to get more difficult. Creating an intrinsically motivating environment is a way for you to win the war on talent. To build on the effects of purpose, you now want to take that excited and short-term motivated employee, and you want to direct that energy in a way that builds their confidence, builds their self-esteem, and makes them more valuable to you as their employer. Developing their mindset and skills is the ticket, okay? When employees receive training, they feel valued, appreciated, and it excites them to know they are growing and improving. This further fuels, this stacks on top of purpose, intrinsic motivation. Now you have the synergy of purpose and mastery working for you to fuel motivation and engagement on your team. Okay, in the retail business, employee engagement is notoriously low. In 2017, our franchise system that I was involved with for 21 years contracted with a human resources analytics company to determine several things. One was net promoter scores. Number two was employee engagement levels. And number three was overall customer satisfaction scores. That was really insightful and leading edge by our leadership at the franchise. I was really appreciative of that. They were able to leverage the scale of 400 and some stores nationally to get a great contract where we all could learn about our own companies and our own clients and how they felt about us. So our company of, at the time, 800 and plus employees had the highest scores among all franchise and corporate-owned stores in the country. Average retail employee engagement scores then nationally were 13%, which means 87% of retail employees were headed for the exit, thinking about something else. Our employee engagement score was 61%, meaning only 39% of our employees were headed for the door, which, you know, it's really hard when you have so many young people who are there for a very short time to have much higher of a score. We were 400% better than the national averages. We also had the highest net promoter scores, higher than Starbucks and Southwest Airlines. And And we had one of the highest client satisfaction scores of all retailers in the country. What I'm trying to share with you is that this demonstrates that an investment in culture and developing intrinsically motivated employees pays dividends in the retention of quality team members and in client loyalty. And it's worth the effort and the struggle and the expense to develop these pillars in your business. And I say this often because I got it from Robin Sharma from the 5 a.m. Club book, Fame. If you want top 1% results, you must be willing to do what 99% of business owners are unwilling to do. Isn't it exciting, though, to be pursuing the 1% path? So creating an intrinsically motivating culture is a 1% strategy few will ever attempt to create, okay? They'll just say it's too hard. It's impossible. They'll give you all the excuses why they can't do it. My friends, let me tell you, that's the ticket to extreme differentiation in your business. Next month, I'm going to bring all of this together by sharing the third pillar, which is autonomy or an empowerment strategy, okay? So let me just finish by saying this. You can try to differentiate on product. That's a loser's game because it's an arms race. You can never really differentiate there unless you're a product strategy company, meaning you engineer and create the product. Well, let me tell you something. That usually requires a lot of scale. Most small businesses, most of the people listening to this audio lesson are going to be in that category where they need to be a solution, all right? A client solution, a client intimacy business model. Because product innovation and operations excellence, which is really another word for price domination, those two business models, price domination being Walmart or a Home Depot or Amazon, where they have immense scale, there's only room for very few of those. And most of us listening to this do not want to go down that path. The product innovation world, Apple, Google, BMW, drug companies, anybody that designs and creates product, that's also a very difficult model, okay? You've got to create that widget or that thing that everybody wants, and then you got to keep doing it afterwards. The third business model, and this is also based on research over a 30-year period, and the idea behind the three business models is you pick one and get world-class at it, and you meet the market minimum at the other two. This is in my book, Passionate Entrepreneur. I explain this in detail. What you want to do is dominate in the area of a solution for a client. What that means, though, the implication of that is that your best people have to be in the field, customer facing, client facing. Okay. All the brains aren't in the corporate headquarters. Well, if you've got to have great people on the floor or in the presence of your client, then you better make sure that they bring their A game to work every day. Well, you know as well as I do that 90%, 95% of the businesses that you interact with, that is not true. So that's where your differentiation opportunity lies. And let's take an approach of rather than trying to force feed that through rah-rah and massive communication and, you know, complex incentive programs. By the way, I didn't even have a bonus program. I had no incentive program. We just paid on the generous end of middle and gave them some basic benefits. And the rest was driven by these three pillars of purpose, mastery, and empowerment. And so you can do the same, all right? You can create that world-class employee experience facing a client through this approach of developing these pillars in your business. That's my encouragement to you. So go back and listen to last month, complete a compelling purpose statement that your employees get involved in with you. Don't bring it down from high. All right. Like Moses delivering the 10 commandments to the Israelites, they're not going to take that well. They're not going to buy in. It's not going to connect at a heart level. You got to allow them to participate in it and then create this system of a stay interview where you ask them, what was your training objective last month? What is it this month? And roll that forward and compound that over time. And then thirdly, learn next month about how to empower people, okay, and capture one of those massive flow triggers and create flow in their work. When you pull all of this together, you're going to get the kind of results that I shared earlier with my last company. And I'm using these same principles in several companies that I own today. And it really is my secret sauce of how to acquire a business or start it and create value and then monetize that value. So until next month, we'll talk again. Thank you.